Once again, we come to this time of our service. And once again, I feel in need of your continued prayers as we go into the preaching part this morning. It's good to see each one. I'm going to turn to begin with, and we won't be here but just a moment, but I want to, the Lord willing, I'd like to give you one more text, one more reference of Scripture that's found in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, from the subject matter that we were on last Sunday of renewed strength, and the comparison with the eagle. And then, the Lord willing, I would like to pivot along the same line, but off into the subject matter of hope. Remember last Sunday we brought across that in the process of renewed strength, that we can endure, that we can tolerate if we have hope. Yeah. We can press on in hope. Yeah. And so I'd like to go into that aspect of it, but I would like to bring in this reference here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. And this is where the children of Israel, here in the early days of coming out of Egypt, and they've come to Mount Sinai, and the scripture tells us that the Lord God calls unto Moses from the mountain. The Bible says that Moses goes up. So I understand it to mean that he goes up into the mountain, and there he meets with God. And this is what God tells him. The Bible tells us in verse 3, "And the Lord God called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." This is the message, Moses, that I want you to give unto them, and that they expressly understand, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." This is verse 4. "And how I bear you on eagle's wings." How I bear you on eagles, belonging to eagles. Yeah. You got the little punctuation mark meaning belonging to. "How I bear you on eagle's wings." God is symbolic here of the eagle. Yeah. And the way the punctuation is, the meaning of it is, God is saying, because you belong to me. Yeah. You belong to me. And that fits right in with other expressions and other lessons that we have brought out before, how that God married Israel and took her by the hand to lead her about and to reveal himself unto her as he had not hitherto before. So God... And remember the lesson about the bond servants. God telling Israel not to make slaves out of their brethren, because they belong to God, because God bought them and he brought them out of Egypt. They were the Lord's. They couldn't own them. They couldn't own their brethren because God owned them. Amen. God owned them. "And how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." I brought you unto myself. God brought them out. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special prized treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine." What's God saying with that last expression? All the earth is mine. Jesus said in John 17 and 2, I believe, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. He has power over all flesh, but there is a peculiar, there is a special, there's a treasured people that God chose out and gave unto his son to save.
Amen.
And so God chose this people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and so forth and down on for over 400 years then that they were in Egypt. So God has them unto himself, a special prized people above all the people. In other words, because all the earth is the Lord's, all of it is his, all the people are his as far as creation.
Yeah.
As far as he has power over, but he treasured them out.
Right.
But I want you to notice that expression and how I bear you on eagle's wings.
Yeah.
You know, this gives us hope.
Yes, it does.
This is our consolation that our Heavenly Father, this comparison is eagle wings, strong, prevailing, soaring, delivering wings of God, that he bears us, that he carries us. He carries us.
Yes, he does.
So there's other texts along that line, and Lord willing, we would look at some of those. But I want to turn. Now I'm going to come back to the New Testament, the Lord willing, but I just want to flip over to Romans chapter 8. And I want to pick up a couple of verses there to establish our thought. And there's many verses here that we could read above and below, but in Romans chapter 8, for the sake of time, I'm just going to just read verse 24 and 25. In Romans chapter 8, for we are saved by hope. Now I know Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved. But it's two different salvations under consideration. We always remember that. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved. This is salvation in the context there for heaven and immortal glory. This salvation under consideration here, and always the word saved, salvation means deliverance. So here when we read, for we are saved by hope, we are delivered by hope, this is temporal, this is timely, this is right here in this life. We are delivered by our earnest expectation, by our consolation, by our trust, by our confidence. And that's faith. That's belief and trust and confidence. That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. We've not seen it yet. We've not realized it yet. We're still hoping. We're still in, but we're not talking about a wish. The Bible don't say, for we are saved by wish.
No.
For we are saved by hope. And you see, this is the thing that most orders of religion do not understand under the umbrella of Christianity. Don't understand. They make the hope wish. I mean, this hope is not wish. You see, a wish can be that which has no basis or no foundation. But a hope has a foundation. A hope has an earnest expectation. There is a reason, there is an expectation that you are considering and expecting what you're expecting. A wish can just be a fantasy. A wish can just be beat in the air. You know, there's a big difference. You might say, well, I wish I had $1 million.
Yeah.
Well, you see, it's a wish if there's no foundation or if there's nothing there for a realization of $1 million. You don't go to the mailbox expecting to get a big check unless there is a realization, unless there's something already set in order. If there is something there, if there's a foundation there, if there's a reason for that, then you could have a hope that it would be in the mail today.
Right.
But if there's nothing there, if there's no foundation or whatever, then it just is a whim. It's just a wish.
Right.
And I'm not going to labor that point any longer, but I wanted sure enough to set that record straight. Amen. That there's a big difference there. The Bible here is not talking about a wish. It's talking about a hope. It's talking about an expected expectation. And there's a reason for our hope. It's Christ Jesus. And what He has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do, what He's going to finish, what He's going to complete.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, as the Scripture expresses, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our hope of glory. He is our expectation. Understanding and realizing from the Scripture of what the Lord has done and who He's done it for. And then the evidences that we see, therefore then we have a basis. We have a basis to operate from. And therefore we can tolerate. And we went through some of those Scriptures about our light afflictions, you know, last Sunday. And about us being able to bear and to press on and to keep on keeping on, because we have hope. We have a great expectation in the finished work of Christ and what that finished work has secured and what the Scriptures teach us, amen, of our life in Christ, that abundant life here, and of Him being sufficient and giving us renewed strength. And then hereafter, of that heavenly city.
Yeah.
This is why Abraham could press on. This is why he sojourned. This is why by faith he walked the walk that he walked here in this life. Amen. For he looked, amen, for a city that had foundation, whose builder, whose maker is God. And then the Scripture tells us that God hath prepared for them a city. Amen. All of His elect people, He has prepared heaven and immortal glory. A city, a heavenly, the Bible says. They're a heavenly city. Amen. That He has built, that He has prepared. That is in accordance with other texts that we've looked at before, and I won't go back to that point. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We have not seen the end, but we are hoping, and we have an expectation of a completed end, of an expected end. Now I'm going to be honest with you this morning, and I'm not saying this boasting, bragging, or anything like that. I'm saying this with all the dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ that I can muster. But brothers and sisters, right now I feel in my heart, and I believe I expect one day to see Jesus. I expect. I want to tell you, if I don't, I'm going to be one of the most disappointed persons you've ever seen. You write it down. Mark it down. If I would be, God would be just in sending in suffering me and me going to hell, to that state of woe and misery. He would be totally just. But if I go to hell, I'll be the most disappointed person in hell you've ever seen. So therefore, I have an expectation. I'm talking about, amen, for a completed, finished expectation end. Amen, that God Himself is going to manifest and is going to bring about. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. We with patience wait for it. That's why we're keeping on, keeping on. That's why we're pressing on. Amen. That's why we are able to tolerate. We're able to bear with. We're able to press on. Amen. Because we have not seen, but we expect that it completed, finished end because of the work of God. Then do we with patience wait for it. Now there's some other things about hope, Lord willing, that we will look at. But I want to go back and spend some time here and bring out in this far as with hope, this lesson that is taught us concerning Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh. And I'm going to turn back to the book of Joshua. And we're going to go to chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1. Now, most of the time, when you hear something brought out and preached about, a lot of times with Reuben, in this context here, with Reuben and with Gad and half of a one of the half the tribe of Manasseh, because one half of the tribe of Manasseh settled on the eastward side of Jordan, and then of course that other half tribe, they settled on over in the land of Canaan and had a possession on westward. And so you hear about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and that half tribe of Manasseh most of the time in a negative way, and about them not going over Jordan and to go into Canaan, but asking Moses for an inheritance on that east side of the Jordan. But that's not what we're going to look at this morning. That's not in the lesson. We want to look at this of the scriptures here in this first chapter, and then in chapter 22. And in these things concerning this that we're going to look at and bring out how hope played a role. All right? So here in Joshua chapter 1, we're just going to start reading in verse 12. And to the Reubenites, now this came down the time, Joshua has become the leader of the children of Israel, Moses is dead, God is preparing them, getting them ready to go over Jordan, and that first city, you know, that they're going to come up against of Jericho and so forth. And so Joshua is preparing the children of Israel, and so here in verse 12, it's where our lesson's going to start, of the chapter 1. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Now he's talking about the inheritance that they asked for on that other side of Jordan for going over in the land of Canaan. And the Lord gave it to them, gave them that place, and it says that they have rest. The Lord's given them there for possession. They've got rest. But Moses had told them, though, when it come time, and when they were to go over, and their brethren, that they would go over and fight with them and help them to secure and to take their inheritance in the land of Canaan and drive out all the ites. And so here Joshua now is bringing this to their memory. But he says, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle. Remember, they said this is a good land for cattle. So here their cattle is mentioned. They are primary herdsmen. And it was of grass and so forth. It's a good place for cattle. But they shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Now as we go on, and before I get to this part about hope, there's other points here that we want to bring out in this lesson as we go along. First of all, he tells them that they're going to go before your brethren armed. Not just are they, Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh going to go and help fight, but they're going to go first. All the mighty men of valor. This word, valor, here, it means great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. So here the scripture is teaching us that they have men, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and this half tribe. They're men of valor. Yeah. They have great courage in the face of danger. And you know, you need people in the front that have great courage in the face of danger. A leader has to be courageous. One that goes before, one that goes in front, has to be courageous. They can't be a coward. They can't be faltering. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the very personified. He personifies valor. You look at that which is courageous. You look at valor. I tell you, it's summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we follow Him. He leads the way. He has led the way, and He is leading the way. And we are endeavoring to follow Him as He has laid it down for us and taught in His Word. And we have the Holy Writ left unto us. But these mighty men of valor, they are to lead. They are to go in front and help them. All right? Verse 15 says, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as He hath given you. You have rest. You have, in other words, evidently they settled into the land. They didn't have a whole lot of difficulty. Whatever they had, they've conquered. They've overcome. They have rest. But God is calling upon them, and they are people of valor.
Yeah.
Mighty men of valor. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as He's given you rest. Those that are in the church that have rest. Those in the church that God has blessed through the heat of the battle and have overcome. And God has blessed them now with rest. God has blessed them to overcome. They have gone through the heat of the day and through the dry times and through the hard times. They're to be such examples unto the rest of the flock of the Lord, of the congregation, of the church, and to help those that are struggling, those that are trying to possess their Christian experience, those that are trying to possess their role as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give a helping hand, to continuously to help strengthen the weak knees, to lift up those feeble hands of those that are weak. And so Reuben and Gad and half tribe of Manasseh, they're men of valor, and they're called upon to help their brethren. They have rest now to help their brethren to get to a place of rest. And they also have possessed the land. You help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest as He has given you, that they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. God gave you your land. God's given them a land, and you help them possess it till they get, till they conquer and they have rest in the land. Then ye shall return. Underline that in your mind. Notice that in the text. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. Here God makes a promise. Here God gives them hope of an expected end. The expected end is that they're going to be victorious. Gad, Reuben, half tribe of Manasseh. They're going to be victorious. God is going to bless them. God's going to help them to do what God is calling upon them to do, to help secure the places for their brethren, that they can have rest of the other tribes of Israel. Then ye shall return. Ye shall return unto the land. That's a hard shall. That's a hard shall. Ye shall return. This is the promise of God. God is promising through Joshua. God, Joshua is speaking as the mouthpiece of God. There's a hope. There's an expected end. The end that you can expect is that you're going to come back home. You see what I'm talking about, hope? What I'm talking about, hope earlier? Oh, then you shall return into the land of your possession, that which God gave you. You will come back to it. And not only will you come back to it, but it says, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
If we obey the Lord, if we will follow after His commandments, His precepts, He is the lawgiver to His church. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we'll do those things, we'll enjoy our possession in the land of Canaan. We'll enjoy our possession, amen, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll enjoy if we'll hearken unto His voice and diligently obey and walk in the way that He's laid down. But if we err, if we stray, if we refuse, if we rebel, then He won't be with us. And we can't have that expected end. Oh, but there's hope. There's hope. There's a basis for hope. Christ first and foremost. And then to do as He has said. And we can never do well enough to have heaven and immortal glory. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we're enabled to walk in a way of obedience, then that's evidence that we will have that expected end.
Yeah.
Amen. That's evidence. Oh, thank God forevermore. And enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan. See, they hadn't passed over yet. On this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. Where does the sun rise? In the east. So they're on the east side of Jordan, toward the sun rising. This is your possession over here. Now the other half tribe of Jordan, of Manasseh, they were on over Jordan and possessed on over in the land, the westward side of Jordan. Lord gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So they've got a hope here. Reuben, Gad, and half tribe Manasseh has a hope. Has an expected end that they're going to come back to their possession and they're going to enjoy it. Based upon the Word of God, based upon what we understand and the evidences, amen, of His grace, that we are indeed in a gracious state, that we are His possession, and that we will have that inheritance in Him. You see, the Lord's the Lord Himself has an inheritance. The Bible teaches us and tells us that the Lord's portion is His people, and Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Jacob representing the elect of God. The elect of God, they are our elder brothers' inheritance.
Yeah.
Amen. They are His possession. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Why? Because they're His. The Father gave them to Him. All right. And so we have these assurances. We have these evidences in life. Now many times we doubt. Many times, yes, maybe we feel closer to hell's gate than heaven's door. But there are times from time to time, amen, that we can feel that unction of the Spirit in our inner being. And there are times that we are enabled by grace to do good works of grace, which testify that we are His.
Yeah.
Amen, that we've been bought by Him, that we're born of His Spirit. Oh, and that He is enabling us to do good works of faith. And the apostle, exhorts the disciples in the church to be careful to maintain good works. The only reason that they can maintain good works is because, amen, the Lord has done that work in them. as Ephesians 2 and 10 says, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's in that context of regeneration right there. Because that's just right after Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So they had a hope. And this hope was saving them. This hope was delivering them. This hope helped them to leave their rest. This hope helped them to be able to leave their wives and their children on the east side of Jordan and to pass on over to the other side and to go before and to lead the way and to fight the battle as very men of value and to be leaders of their brethren and to conquer and to overcome because they would return as God had told them that they would. So therefore they were living with a great expectation. Brothers and sisters, we've come here today because we've got a great expectation in Christ. We've come here today because we believe in the finished work of Christ and we believe that He is our Savior. And we believe by faith, by faith, by faith. Amen. We trust and have confidence. We've seen evidences. Amen. That we have the grace of God. That we've had it bestowed upon us. That we've been born of His Spirit. We don't boast. And we have not seen the end. And so we don't boast that I know that I know that I know. Now 1 John's got a lot of no's in it. Oh yeah, but all of those no's that he talks about in 1 John, you tie them in the context, and they're going to be in line with evidences.
Right.
For we know that we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. That's one of them. No. We know that we have passed from death unto life. There in 1 John. But that's evidence. That's what he's dealing with about those no's. And so most of the religious world just picks it up in a boastful way. And we old Baptists have been scorned and mocked and ridiculed and talked about all that you got as a hope. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't trade my hope for all the no-so salvation that the Armenians have.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I'll say it again if you need it.
Yeah.
Amen. It's on tape. That's all right. I wouldn't trade the hope, the knowledge of this hope. And the feel of hope in the heart. Now, I'm like Elder Ricky Harker. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a religion you couldn't feel. Amen. I tell you, every now and then you can feel this. Every now and then there's a stirring. Every now and then there's something moves in you.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. There's something that refreshes. There's something that lifts you up above the cares and burdens and the dread and the drudgery and the mundane cares and chaos and confusion of this old world. I tell you, the most blessed refuge and the most blessed place that I can feel the presence of the Lord, amen, is in the house of the Lord, engaged in the divine worship service of God. And to be honest with you, when the Lord stirs in my soul, when I'm standing right here right now in the field, what I feel. And unless I'm totally deceived and way out in left field and have no knowledge whatsoever, amen, I want to tell you, right now there ain't enough devils in hell or out of hell to convince me that I'm not one of His.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put all this in the right perspective. I want to give you both sides.
Yeah.
Amen. That we get a balance. That we get a balance of this. That we understand. And I know most of you and most of you older ones, the most of you do and all. Amen. But I'll just confirm it and build it up. And these little ones can, and these little ones, these older little ones that can comprehend more so. You listen to Brother David as he's explaining this morning. Amen. And you try to lay hold upon it. And I pray God will bless it to you and God will bless it to your heart. Amen. That you will see some of these beautiful, beautiful truths.
Yeah.
Now, as we go on just a little bit further right here now, in verse 16. Now, I want you to notice this. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do.
Yeah.
And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go.
Yeah.
They are sent to help. They're sent to help. And their answer to this is that, yes, we'll do it. We told Moses we would do it. And we will do it. All that thou commandest us. Not part of it. And I've already went over the expression where Jesus said, if thou lovest me, keep my commandments. It's not just with lip service, but it's with the walk. Amen. It's with the conversation of the conduct, of the movement, of the action. Amen. Of our walk. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. So our walk is to be after Him. So they say, yes, we'll do it. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. This is what Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh that has this inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. This is their response. That they will be mighty men of valor, that they will be courageous, that they will go forth, that they will lead in battle. Now I see a spiritual lesson here. And this men of valor here. And if we could spiritualize just a little bit further, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that there is no minimum age or maximum age. And this would include brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Amen. Brothers and sisters. I've seen a many of dear old sisters in the church that had plenty of valor, that had plenty of courage, that stood. The older ones that would not be afraid and that would be courageous and would endeavor to teach the younger ones and that would even stand even in the time when there might be the need and the calls for rebuking. That's in teaching the younger women also. It can be in rebuking and correcting, instructing. And so we see then that brothers and sisters in the church that God uses in wonderful ways to be examples and to be encouragers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 17 and 18, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I want to tell you, this was serious business, wasn't it? This was serious business for them. Amen. This being put to death, this was, of course, temporal. And but the commandment is for them to do all that was that the Lord had commanded to do, to go forth, to lead the way. And but as they went, the reason they could endure, the reason they could keep on keeping on, the reason that they could press on was because they had hope. Because the Lord said, ye shall return unto the land your possession and enjoy it. Now, let's turn over to Joshua chapter 22. In Joshua chapter 22, we've got several years that have expired. Many battles have been fought and won. Inheritances have been given out. Land has been settled. Of course, they didn't settle it all. They didn't keep pursuing and doing. But here we come to chapter 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Now Joshua said they kept all that the servant of the Lord commanded them. Now the word of God said they did it, and I'm telling you this morning that they did it. And notice, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you.
Yeah.
Boy, what a great commendation.
Yes, it was.
What a great commendation that Joshua gives Gad and Reuben and Manasseh, that half tribe of Manasseh. Now, of course, the original, we know the original Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, they've been dead for hundreds of years, long time. But they're descendants. And those that are members of that other tribe, of the families, act from them. So it is the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manassehites, half the tribe of them. And Joshua says, all right, you've done what you were called upon to do. Then in verse 3, ye have not left your brethren these many days. Many days. Not a few days. They didn't just endure for a few days, but many days. A long time. A long expanded time that they had been away from home, leading the way. And they had not left their brethren these many days unto this day. They had been faithful from the day that Joshua called upon them to leave their rest, to leave their possession, leave their wives, leave their children, leave their cattle, and to go and to lead the way and to fight in the front of the battle. They had, and it was many days, is a long period of time, not a few days. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day. What's this teaching us? It's teaching us that in light of this hope, that we continue on no matter how long. That we continue on the rest of our lives, that we stay engaged, that we stay in obedience. They have been obedient all of this time, Joshua is saying. They had been in and out, up and down. Oh, but they had been engaged in, and they had been busy in, and they had been consistent in what the Lord had called upon them to do. Thank God for the nucleuses, the very center of churches since the Lord constituted and established His church here upon this earth. Little Bethel spots here and there, that there's been a nucleus, that there has been a faithful few, that no matter who came and who left and who did this and who did that, but they stayed. They were faithful unto the cause. They were faithful to the cause of Christ. Remember, David said unto his brethren, when they wouldn't, no one would volunteer to fight Goliath, and David was going to do it. He said, is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause, and that cause is Christ. And what the Lord has called us unto as His disciples, and the great truth that He has given us. God had given them a great possession on that east side. He had blessed them there with the land. And they had a rest, the Bible says. And so they were to be obedient then in that, to be faithful in that. The Lord has done so much for us. Therefore, we should tolerate. Therefore, we should bear with. Therefore, we should press on in this life, looking to the deliverances of the Lord, and with great expectation, in hope of an expected end. There is coming an end.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Then cometh the end. Amen. We will have our end if time continues on. There have been multitudes of disciples of the Lord back through the centuries of time that had come to their end, temporal end. Oh, but they weren't. But they weren't annihilated. They weren't like it's not like old Rover dead all over. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that soul and spirit, it's gonna rest on in the presence of the Lord until the glorious day of the resurrection. Oh, there's gonna come an end of the temporal, an end of this time. Oh, we're not focusing upon what is seen, but that which is not seen.
Yeah.
Well, that which is not seen is eternal. That which we see is all temporal, as the scripture teaches us. Well, but there's that we don't see. But by hope, we have an expected end. And therefore, we are saved by hope. We're delivered by hope as we live right here in this life. Bless God forevermore. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. It's time for them to go back home. It's time for them to go back over the Jordan to the east side, to where their wives, their children, their families, where their cattle was, their possessions was. They had fought the battle. They had done what they were supposed to do. They had led the way. They had been leaders. And the Lord had said that he would bless them. He said, you shall return. You shall possess it. You shall enjoy it. They had lived by hope. And now they were going to go back and realize that hope. When we come to the end of our way, thank God, we're going to be blessed to realize our hope. Our faith will be sight. Our hope will be reality. Then we will no longer hope for, because we will see.
Right.
We will see.
Amen.
We will see. Here by faith, we live by faith. But thank God we have an anchor of the soul, on which is steadfast, which is sure. Oh, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just keep your finger there, but let's turn over to the Hebrew letter right quick and catch that particular text found there in Hebrews chapter 6, where he says, Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We might have a strong comfort.
Yeah.
You know, comfort and hope, they're twins. Think about it. Comfort and hope, they're twins. They work hand in hand. They work together. Hope gives you comfort, and comfort gives you hope. Amen. They're twins. Amen. Thank God we have a strong consolation. We have a strong comfort. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God's children need to lay hold upon the hope.
Right.
Now, hope personified is Christ. We need to lay hold upon Christ. We need to lay hold upon that expected end. Now, here you have the reference. We might have a strong consolation. Who? Who's going to have a strong consolation? Who's going to have a strong comfort? Those that have fled for refuge. To those that kill someone, manslaughter, kill someone by accident, didn't mean to, it wasn't premeditated murder. There were cities of refuge that were set up among the children of Israel. And they were to flee to those cities of refuge. And if they were to go to those cities of refuge, and they were to stay there until the death of the high priest. And if they stayed there, the avenger of the family of the one that had been killed accidentally, without prejudice and bias and premeditation, it wasn't a premeditated murder, they would be safe in that city of refuge. Oh, and so this is the comparison. This is the allegory that is brought about here, that we understand who have fled for refuge.
Yeah.
We flee to Christ. We flee for refuge. We flee to Him. He is our city of refuge. He is our consolation. He is our hope. And therefore, we need to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. I hope and pray this morning that that's what I'm doing through the scriptures, through giving you the sense of the scriptures and trying to open the word of God unto you. I'm setting the hope before you. And what are you to do? You're to lay hold on it. You're to reach out and get it by faith. You're to say, yes, I believe that. Yes, I will cling to that. Yes, I will embrace that. Yes, I will acknowledge that. Yes, I will trust that. Oh, lay hold upon it. Oh, and it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Our hope helps anchor us. Christ, amen, personified. He is our anchor. He anchors us, amen, here in this life. But our hope, in a temporal sense, it helps keep us anchored down. Our comfort and our hope, our expected end, helps us to tolerate, helps us to endure, helps us to keep on keeping on and pressing on in the service of God, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Oh, yes. But if we fail, if we falter, thank God though, this eternal hope. Amen. This one, the Lord Jesus, He's got us anchored above. We're not anchored below, we're anchored above. And all the elect of God, He's going to see to it that every one of them gets home to glory. And whether they've been disciples the way they ought to be or not. I've said it many a times and I'm going to say it again. That prodigal son, he was the son of the father when he left home. He was the son of the father when he was living and wasting his inheritance in a shameful way. He was a shameful son. He was a disgraceful son at the hog pen. But he was still the son. And he was still the son when he went back home. And the father said to put a ring on his finger, which was a ring of sonship, and shoes on his feet, which represents sonship, instead of being barefoot, meaning a servant or a slave. Put shoes on his feet, meaning he's a son. He is a member of the family. He's a son. But I want to tell you, and this is where the division comes. This is where it separates many of folks in their theological understandings. If he was a son when he left, and he is a son when he is down there, and he is a son when he went back, I tell you this morning that if he had died down at the hog pen, he'd have still been the son of the father. He'd have been a disgraceful son. He'd have been a shameful son. But he's still the son of the father.
Amen.
But let us not be a shameful son. Let us not be a disgraceful son. Let us be obedient.
Yeah.
The best thing is to never leave home. Amen.
Yeah.
Never leave home. Don't leave the Father's house.
Right.
Amen. What I'm talking about here in this earth, the Father's house is the gospel church. It's the gospel kingdom. Don't leave it. Amen. If you're in it, don't leave it. Don't do anything to lose your home. Don't do anything to forsake your home. Keep it, prize it, treasure it. Burn the bridges behind you. Sell out everything you have to keep it. Don't ever leave it.
Yeah. Amen.
Hold fast.
Yeah.
Hold fast. There's nothing out there but the wolf. There's nothing out there but the hounds of hell.
Right.
But I'm glad and I'm thankful that even the Gentiles, when Christ was going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but even the Gentiles, that Syrophoenician woman, that when she was come to the Lord and needed help for her child, and the Lord said, it's not meet or it's not fitting to give the children, talking about the children of the Israelites there in that geographical area, for it was unto them first, and then to the Greek. First to the Jew and then to the Greek. But even when the Lord said that, it's not It's not meat or it's not feeding to give the children's bread and the dogs, even this Gentile. She said, in other words, she agreed with him, yes, Lord, yea, Lord.
Yeah.
But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. I'm glad that even for the wayward, even for the one that's went in a way of disobedience, amen, and so forth, but yet there are even crumbs from the master's table that you can have. Oh, what the Lord has provided. But it is far better to never leave the Father's house, to never walk in a way of disobedience or contrariness, to be stiff-necked, to be rebellious, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We have got a sure and steadfast Lord Jesus Christ, our hope of glory, that's entered in to heaven's pure world itself and is seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Hope saves us here. And it will save us to the end.
Yeah.
Amen. If we will lay hold on it.
Right.
If we will continue in it. If we will press on in that. In that good way. You know, it said there in Joshua 22. But take diligence to heed the commandment and the law in verse 5, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. After he's told them to go back, he's told them to go to their tents, he's told them to go back home, but he said, listen, you keep walking in the way of the Lord. You keep walking the way that Moses charged, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua, in verse 6 of Joshua 22, so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. One day, our temporal tent here is going to be folded, and we're going to go to that city that has foundation. We're going to go to that city whose builder, whose ruler, whose maker is God. I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Remember back in the early part of this discourse where I talked about the Lord carrying us on those eagle wings. His wings, his strong wings, whereby he carries us. He says, listen, hearken unto me, listen up to me, pay attention to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. You are able, enabled, blessed to come forth from the womb, from the belly, and to be born. It was by me. And you've been carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. Even to your old age, I am he. We're to keep on pressing on until the end, brothers and sisters. Even through our old age, through our difficulties, even to hoar hairs, gray hairs.
Yeah.
Even to those hard times. But oh, he is still he. He's the one that brought us forth. He's the one that delivered us. He saw us to a lively birth. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Now can't you lay hold on that? Lay hold. That's hope. That's an earnest expectation of the delivering power of God. That either way you can't lose. That the Lord is going to be with you. The Lord is going to help you. The Lord is going to make a way for an escape through every trial and tribulation and trouble here in this life. And yet there will be something at the end when we breathe out our last that God will suffer us. Amen. For the departing of our soul and spirit from our bodies. Oh, but yet, amen, we will soar away on those eagle wings bared by angels into his very bosom to rest into the glorious day of the resurrection.
Amen.
In Psalm 71, listen, starting with verse 5. For thou art my hope. Oh, this is beautiful. Psalm 71, verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Listen to verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Amen. As I said, thank God for those that have endured the heat of the battle, to those, amen, that we can look around and to see their faithfulness and their stableness and following the commandments and the ways of the Lord. And they've been doing it many days, not a few. And they've done it up to this day and will do it until the day that the Lord says, unto your tent.
Yeah.
It's finished. It's over with. And we fold up this tent here. We fold and go to that house not made with hands. Amen. Eternal in the heavens.
Yeah.
That city, that heavenly city. I'm going to come to a close. But I want to read a verse that every time I read it, I don't know, it does something for me. Abraham sojourned. He sojourned by faith.
Yeah.
Abraham is called the father of the faithful. I don't have time to go into that and rightly divide that out, but that's what the Bible says he is. And the Bible says also that Abraham, that he was a friend of God. Now why is that so special? You don't say that God was Abraham's friend. Now God was. He's our friend. His friend is still closer than a natural brother. All right, we understand that. But Abraham was God's friend. That's different. He was God's friend. He was God's friend.
Yeah.
He was a special person. Listen to Genesis 25 and 8. Genesis 25 and 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost. He breathed out his last. And died in a good old age. An old man. And full of years. And was gathered to his people. Tell you what, there's a spiritual context to that. That is so touching. That is so wonderful. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. It is a testimony to God's preserving power.
Yeah.
It is a testimony. And was gathered to his people. I don't believe that's just talking about that he was buried. That he was buried in the family cemetery. Huh. I believe it has a far greater meaning than that. Oh, what a verse. What an expression to be placed there, this man that is called the father of the faithful and is called the friend of God. I trust this morning that these thoughts concerning hope and of the lesson more centered around that of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe Manasseh. And yes, it is a different focus than what you maybe normally hear when talked about them. I've never heard them talked about, but more so in the negative for wanting to be on the other side. But I tell you what, the scriptures speak pretty highly of them in the lesson that I tried to bring forth this morning. And what God, and God commending them through Joshua of what they had done for many days. God bless you this morning. It's my prayer. We'll publish the open door of the church. Select songs. We stand together.